Welcome to the Left Brain Artist Podcast. I'm Suzanne Redmond. Each Wednesday, I interview an artist and we talk about their artwork, their business, and what's next for them. On Fridays, I do these mini episodes where I go into a little more detail about one aspect of that artist's business. This week, I interviewed Michael Demang, an artist who creates sculptures from castaway objects. He explains that he finds the object first and creates the story second. Sometimes the object gives him an idea for a story, like the box he found that he then thought would be perfect for creating a Lilith sculpture. Sometimes the story is a traditional one, like the story of a mythological being from a culture, and sometimes he makes up his own character and story. This got me thinking about how artists tell their stories. They're not just telling the story of a piece of artwork, but they're also telling the story about themselves. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. How do you as an artist tell your story and the story of your art? I want to start out by talking about journaling. Often the first time someone tells their story, it's through the privacy of a journal. A journal is a safe space because it's usually only seen by the writer, so the writer can be open and free about what is said. It allows the writer to write without restrictions or expectations. Many creative people keep a journal to work through problems, to record ideas, or to track their growth. Another type of journaling is art journaling, which is also called visual journaling. It's very different than regular journaling because it includes art with the words on the page. I want to talk about that because so many of the mixed media artists that I've interviewed on this podcast got their start with art by doing art journaling. It's a kind of storytelling in a blank book, but it's accompanied by artwork that illustrates or enhances the story. The artwork can be literal, like an illustration or photo of a place that you're writing about, or it can be figurative, like splashes of colors to illustrate your mood while writing in the journal or while doing what you're writing about. The artwork can be handmade or created with papers, postcards, photographs. One page can tell an entire story, or it can be told over many pages. I've participated in art swaps, where art journals are collaborations between many artists. The first artist starts the idea with one page of art and writing, and the next artist adds another page and adds to the story. For many artists, this was the first way they started using art supplies and experimenting with different techniques. Their art journaling was safe because they were doing it on a small page and they could keep it to themselves if they wanted. Because it was in a book instead of on a canvas, they didn't feel the pressure to show other people and hang it on the wall. This way, they could just keep their story to themselves if they wanted, and they could keep working on their story in a safe environment. Now, let's talk about telling your story when you do want the story out there. For Michael Demang, he's telling a story by making a piece of art that depicts a myth or a figure. He's telling the story with the expressions he makes on the face or how the body is placed or how the limbs are arranged. He's using pieces and colors that give the viewer a feeling or emotion toward that piece. Painters do the same thing with a flat surface. They may paint a beach scene and it can be sunny and bright, or it can be gray with waves that look like they're raging toward the shore. Each scene will give you a different feeling. You can also tell a story with your art by literally using words on your art. I'll give an example of that. I did a series of 16 collages. They were on paper, and I used paper scraps, watercolor, and ink pens. I collaged pieces of letters that were written 100 years ago, and as you look through the series, you could read the parts of the letters in order. They told a story of a relationship between my grandmother and a friend. They also told a story about World War I because the friend was a pilot flying during the war. And they also told a story about communication during that time and how people spoke in letters and how it took a long time to hear news stories because they came by letter or within the newspaper. Another example of words in a work of art is an installation I saw at a gallery. They had words made with wire in script hanging from the ceiling. One of the words was love. They had a light shining on the word and it projected a shadow on the wall. But the shadow on the wall said hate. The shadow was created by the wire that was arranged on the backside of the word love. That told a story, that behind love there's always hate, or without hate, you can't have love. You could think about it a few ways, and that's what made this story so special. Often the story is really created by the person viewing the art. The artist can really only just make it a suggestion to the viewer, but there's no guarantee the viewer will exactly understand what the artist wants him to. Another way you can help the viewer to understand your artwork is to give each piece a title. It's a big pet peeve of mine when artists don't title their work. To me, if there's no title, then they've left it unfinished. There's only one thing that grates on me more than a piece of art hanging in a gallery with the title Untitled, and that's a piece of art that has the name Untitled with a number after it, like Untitled Number 4. That just tells me that they never title their works, and they're all called Untitled. It just seems so lazy to me. You're in the business of being creative, so create the art, and then create the title, too. Don't go halfway. Anyway, finish your story and give it a title. I even titled my necklaces when I was selling jewelry. Once people who came into my little booth of jewelry noticed the tags with the titles, they stayed even longer and looked at more pieces because they wanted to read the titles. I took a lot of time creating my titles so that each piece of jewelry would tell a story, and you should too. Now, let's talk about how you can tell the story of you. The first place people can find a story about you is on your profile page in your social media or on your About page on your website. So take some time to write a good one. For Instagram, you're limited by a small number of characters, so you can't write much, but make it clever or funny or informative or whatever suits your personality. Include only the things that are relevant because you don't have much room. For example, if you're an accountant turned artist, it may not be important to say that you're a former accountant. But if you're an architect turned artist who now makes art out of old architectural drawings, then yeah, that'd be important to say that. On your website, you've got more room to write more about yourself, but that doesn't mean you should write a couple of pages of your history as an artist. Again, just include the things that are relevant. If you used to make jewelry but now you paint, you might not want to even mention that you're a jewelry artist, unless you're selling pieces on your website. I think most about pages look good with a maximum of 3 paragraphs, because really, who's going to read much more than that? I would say what type of art you make, where it can be found, for sure. I'd also mention any big things you've accomplished, like writing a book or teaching locally, or if you teach across the United States. If your artwork can be found in a couple galleries, you can list them here with links, or you can link them to a gallery or shop page on your website. Take a look at other artists' websites and their about pages to get an idea of what interests you and what others might want to find out about you. I want to go back to talking about social media a bit. Realize that everything you put on social media is also telling a story about you. And realize who's seeing that story. So if you've set up an Instagram account to showcase your art and your process, then consider whether you want to include photos of your family or your pets. I have the attitude of, let people know I have kids and a dog, but don't talk about them all the time. I try not to post too often on Instagram about my kids because I really want the focus to be on my artwork. You'll have to decide how much you want to share in that capacity. But if you do use social media to show off your artwork, then remember that you can show it off in so many ways, and they will all tell a story to your viewers. For example, if you're a painter, you can show photos of a finished painting, but also a work in progress, or a photo of the art supplies that you use, or a photo of your studio, or a photo of the painting hanging in a room. You can also do videos of your process. And don't forget to write a good caption. Those words are needed to tell what you're doing and also to tell the title of the piece. One last thing about sharing on the internet. Over the past few years, the word blogging has kind of become a bad word. Nobody likes to say that they blog anymore. I say, do whatever you want. I blog on my website, but I call it show notes because it's the notes and links and photos that accompany each one of my podcast episodes. It's still a blog, so don't worry about what you call it. I know artists who tell stories in a blog format, but the tab on their website is called What's New or My Thoughts. It's the same thing, but it's lost a little of that stigma that's associated with the word blog now. So keep on blogging, call it whatever you want, because it's a great way to get a lot of great stories out there. The last thing I want to talk about is how an artist can tell their story in person. I interviewed artist Nicole Galluccio in episode number 7, and she said she started doing live painting so that she could get out and meet potential customers in person. When you've got an easel set up and you're painting in a public place, people naturally are going to come up and want to talk to you. So talk and tell them what you're doing, or why you chose that color, or why you're making something that big or that small, and tell them about the subject matter. For some artists, talking while they're painting and they're able to look at the canvas is much easier than public speaking when you're looking out at an audience. But you might say, "Oh, but I'd never be able to paint in front of people." Well, that may be true, so it may not be for you. But for many artists, they love meeting people and talking in an informal setting. You'll also get an opportunity to talk to customers if you're displaying and selling your work in a festival or show. Greet people as they come in your booth. Post an 8x10 page that tells a little about you and your techniques that may spark questions when people come in to look at your art. If you're showing your work in a gallery, be sure and attend the opening reception. Stand by your artwork and answer any questions that people have. Mingle with the people there and meet the other artists too. By exchanging stories with other artists, you may find some common interests and you may decide to collaborate with them. Just get out there and talk. And for those of you who say you're just too totally nervous to talk about your art, well, I'll tell you this. Yes, everyone has had a fear of public speaking, and some people still have it pretty bad. But there's two things that will help you with that. Number one, know your subject inside and out. Well, that part you've got down. You know your artwork. You know why you chose to make what you did and why you chose certain art supplies and techniques. You're an expert on you and your art. And when you're an expert on something, it's tons easier to talk about it. And number two, the other thing that will help you with public speaking, practice. And what I mean by that is do it a lot. I don't mean you have to get on a stage and speak at a podium, but practice the type of speaking you'll do. Put yourself in situations where you'll need to speak, like in a gallery in front of your work or in a live painting situation. Then build up to something like doing a demo in front of a group of 20 people. That's just like live painting, except you're going to face the people a little bit more. Keep challenging yourself with these kinds of things, and before you know it, you'll be pretty good at speaking to people and telling the story of you and your art. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Left Brain Artist. As always, if you like what you're hearing, leave me a review on iTunes. If you subscribe to this podcast, you'll get each episode downloaded free every week. You can also find this podcast on most other podcast apps, so use whichever one works with your phone. This podcast is created and produced by me, Suzanne Redmond. The music I use is from Squire Tuck. You can find a list and link to all my podcast episodes on my website, SuzanneRedmond.com. I also include show notes on the website for every episode. I'm Suzanne Redmond. See you next time.